Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth, across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, hallowed in the mouths of infants and children, has set up a fortress against your enemies, to silence the foe and avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are your mortals that you should be mindful of them, beings that you should care for them?
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Finally, siblings, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, the church celebrates Holy Trinity Sunday, the first Sunday after Pentecost. While most festival days and Sundays mark moments in the life of Jesus or the life of the church, this holy day, well, it marks a doctrine that emerged from nearly a century of debate and discussion. Controversy after controversy raised questions about how to understand the one holy God, while also attending to the reality that this God is revealed throughout Scripture in three persons. The formula is that God is one substance in three persons. As a teaching of the church, the Holy Trinity presents all kinds of challenges. Many of you have heard stories of seminary faculty poking holes in the favored metaphors often used in Sunday school and vacation Bible school and other teaching situations. One faculty member took a certain joy in pointing out this heresy that each metaphor represented. Two familiar ones are that the Holy Trinity is like water, one substance in three forms, vapor, liquid, solid. Of course, this faculty member would say, that's modalism. Don't go there. Or like an apple with the skin and the flesh and the seed, all apple, but each different. And again, heresy. Of course, metaphorical language always fails when pushed to the limits. So the lectionary writers today draw from Scripture that all point to the revelation of the three persons of the Trinity. Starting with the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the church hears that God created through the Word in the presence of the wind of God. By the time the author of John's Gospel wrote that account of Jesus, Jesus and the Word of God had become deeply associated. And the wind over that formless void could also find translation as breath or spirit. All three present in those first verses. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he concludes the second edition with a phrase that the church now uses nearly every week. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Serves as a greeting to begin worship. The earliest writings of the church include reference to what the 4th century councils described as God in one substance, revealed in three persons. Paul didn't write systems of theology or systematic theologies, but he certainly drew from the language of the emerging tradition to communicate faith. And finally, the lectionary writers reach to the final sentences of Matthew's gospel. Jesus meets his disciples after his resurrection. They experience both joy and, well, doubt? A little consternation? Imagine how disorienting such an experience might be. And then Jesus gives instruction, which includes baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What does this mean for faithful people today? What Jesus promises is nothing less than relationship for all time. I will be with you until the end of the age. This powerful commitment reminds all the faithful that God chooses relationship with each one and with all creation. God, who created in diversity, celebrates diversity. Faithful people do not all have to come from one mold. Indeed, the diversity is the image of God. That diversity encompasses all aspects of creation, not just the binary endpoints often used as reference. Relationship represents the ultimate nature of God. Three persons, one substance. More than that, by virtue of the creative act, God has chosen relationship with creation, with all people. God as creator, humanity as created. There is absolutely nothing that individual or collective humanity can do that separates anyone from the love of God. Those core promises, diversity and relationship, provide a ground for each one of the faithful when life is good, but more so when life gets difficult. Jesus accompanies the church today and every day into the future. No matter how messy any one of our lives becomes, Christ walks the journey with us. The Spirit sustains and inspires faith. God, the Creator, provides all that creation needs for abundance. So today, the church must train itself to recognize the presence and activity of God in this place, in this time, for the good of all creation, all people, for you and for me. May this revelation sustain everyone in grace, hope, and peace.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.